Well, tonight we're going to look on a subject I call our responsibility. Our responsibility. When you look, and this really blows my mind, when you look what God has done to equip us with His Holy Spirit, to give us so much Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, I'm glad he got Colossians 1:27 in there, because if we had to explain or list out everything that he's done for us, it would take hours to list them all out. His love, his peace, we have the hope. He's done it all. What do we do? Nothing, nada. Nada. And that's how loving our God is. He has provided everything that we could ever imagine in our loving relationship. It just blows my mind. And when we think about what's going to be happening Sunday, celebrating the reality of the great work that brought that to pass. What brought it to pass that we could have such fullness and such peace and love and grace? It's the work of our Lord and Savior, right? We didn't have to do it. The perfect sacrifice did. We were talking about God could have maybe taken anybody to sacrifice. No, he took the perfect man, his only begotten son, to pay the perfect price. And that's why we have it. And because God raised him from the dead, he received that sacrifice up to be with him at his right hand. The resurrection, the significance is so key and so important for Christianity. And it just opens up for us all the fullness of God's righteousness in us. And you sit back and say, well, what do I do? You know, in all this greatness, what do I do? I can just sit back and watch and speak in tongues all the time, or what? It's just amazing when I think about it. But God does have a special assignment for us. It's not like we're to do nothing. God has given us a responsibility. And that's why I've titled this teaching Our Responsibility, okay? God did his in a most beautiful, wonderful way through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But in Philippians, if you want to go there, it is revealed the condition of the world that you and I live in and what our responsibility is. And it's a real joy when you think about what God has caused us to be responsible for. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, it says that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. You know, he's saying we're sons of God, and what else? That we're blameless. Nobody can point a finger at us for doing anything wrong or out of order. We are blameless, we're harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Now, what does that mean? What does rebuke mean? When somebody's rebuked, I had to look that up. And to rebuke someone is an expression of sharp criticism or disapproval because of their behavior. And as sons of God, nobody can point their finger at you or me or any other believer in light of what they're called to do. Because they are without rebuke in the midst of what? A crooked and perverse nation. You know, this world we live in is screwed up, and it doesn't take any heavy revelation to get that. Oh, my gosh. But what's the rest of the verse say? Among whom you shine as lights in the world. This world is so dark, the only light is where you are standing. Wherever there's a born-again person, there is light. Without you and me, no light, very dark. You look at nations or areas around the world where there's no believers, it's really bad, really dark. Man, oh man. So for us to shine as lights is so key, so important. That's our responsibility. It says in verse 16, how do we shine our lights? What does that mean to shine lights in the world? Verse 16 tells us, holding forth the word of life. The word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And that's when he comes back. We're going to rejoice because we've held forth the word of life, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. There's a lot of energy, a lot of stuff going on in the name of God and Christianity that's in vain. But I tell you what, when you share God's word, when you bring light to people today, it's like we were praying or we have somebody, God gives us somebody to share the word with, to share the love of God with, man, that's golden. That's light shining in the darkness. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Now, to shine as lights, we need to know what this light is and where it's found. And it's found in Christ and in the Word of God. In John 12:46. John 12:46. I'll read this to you. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So anytime you share Christ, because he is what? Light. Jesus Christ is light in this world. And whoever believes on him, 46, whoever believes on him should not abide in darkness. The word of God, the word of life, right? That's the word of God. And Jesus Christ. What a combo. That's light. That's the only light. I don't care. You can have the biggest searchlight in the world and has the giant beams and the biggest batteries. That's not light. That's not going to do it. What really shines in the heart of a person's life is Christ and the Word of life. Now, the Word of God is the witness. It does the work. Isn't that great? It's not like we have to learn, you know, go to college and learn some kind of thing that will make the word work. We just hold it forth. We just speak it. We just share it. We just talk about Christ. And it gets it done. The significance of your life is revealed in your act of doing your responsibility. And your responsibility is to share the word of life and Jesus Christ. When we do that, look out. Rewards after rewards in heaven. It really makes a difference. And I've said this probably hundreds of times through the years, the greatest thing you will ever do is to help someone bring them to Christ, to help them get born again and saved and come to a knowledge of the truth so that they could help someone else. I think I've had the privilege of doing this for over 50 years. And I think about, and I need to think about this probably more, of all the people I've had the privilege to speak the word to. I mean, I think about in college, my senior year in college, we had a way home, and we taught the Bible, and I brought a number of people to hear the word taught. I brought them to Christ, and God worked within me to do it. It's not me so hot. It's just believing that God works within me, using the manifestations of the Spirit to reach other people. And we just saw a lot of folks, a lot of people. And in turn, then they go teach somebody else. They go hold forth the words of life. When I was in the Marine Corps, you've heard me talk about these stories, where I had the opportunity to, in this one situation where there were some 20, 30 Marines in one room, and I had the opportunity to teach the word to them. They didn't know what to expect other than this big, tall officer teaching the Bible. And who knows what they have done. I know what some of them have done. One of them actually witnessed to Ken Petty and helped him get into the Word. And so many others. And through the years, it just goes on. And I'm sure you could think of people that you've touched that have made a difference. And that's, boy, that's what's golden. You know, we may have trophies in basketball or football or sewing or cooking or whatever, I don't know, achieving some great activity, but there's nothing greater than to sow the seed of truth. Amen, brother. No greater way to do it. So, see, what we really need to know is the Word of God and be effective in holding it forth. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians. I think this really is an important verse that we need to understand here. And maybe in a way that maybe we haven't noticed before. But here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be where?
In Christ.
Okay, so if I understand what this is saying, if therefore any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, the King James says. Creation is the better translations. So you're in Christ. So what is it to be in Christ? We talked about Christ in us, the hope of glory. Yes, but to be in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When we really talk about being in Christ, it is done with the renewed mind that in our hearts, yes, I'm a born-again believer. I know what God says I am, who I am, and I can speak forth boldly, and I do it. I do it because I'm in Christ. And so this is all about what the Word talks about, is a renewed mind. All through the church epistles, the renewed mind comes into play. Well, wait a minute. I have to work to renew my mind. I have to read to renew my mind. I have to study to renew. Yes, you do. And why not? God has done all the work to give you the fullness of Christ within. Now, to walk in it, you got to know the Word. You got to know who you are in Christ. Do you know your sonship rights? Do you know what you've been called to do? Do you know how to walk by the Spirit, operate nine manifestations? See, we renew our minds so that we can, yes, have this great Word of God just burning in our hearts. Romans 12. This is one example. There's, like I say, in all the church epistles, there's something about the renewed mind in all of them pretty much. But in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, why would I want to renew my mind? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect what?
Will
of God. What's the will of God for you? To have your mind renewed. Okay? Renewed so that you can prove that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Yeah. So we want to be in Christ in the sense of the renewed mind so that we can be our best in holding forth the words of life and speaking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 5:17 because there's more here we need to see to fill out the context of that particular section. So back to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We looked at verse 17. Let's read this again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. All right, God reconciled. He brought us back. To reconcile something is to bring something that has been lost back to its original owner. So Adam lost it. Jesus Christ regained it. So we've been reconciled back to God by Jesus Christ. And there's a connection here. And hath given to us. He could have given us a lot of things, but what did he give us in this verse? The ministry of reconciliation. Here it is, the ministry of reconciliation. This is our responsibility. This is our job. We have the ministry of reconciliation to bring back man who is in darkness to the light of God's word before the Heavenly Father. Verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us, who's in us?
Christ.
We are the us. We be us.
We're the users.
Yeah, we are users. Hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we have the word of reconciliation to bring man back to God. Verse 20 says, now then we're what?
Ambassadors
for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. You see, this is our responsibility to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that fabulous? That is what we do. That is who we are. We have a ministry. We all have the same ministry of reconciliation. Now, I know God calls us to function in the body of Christ in so many wonderful different ways so the one body can work and function together. But all of us have this ministry of reconciling man. All that we do in all our efforts, whatever it is to help bring the light to a dark world. Pretty neat, huh? I think it's fabulous. This is what we get to do. I'd like to close out by reading these two little paragraphs. They're in the Green Book. I'd have known I would bring up the Green Book again tonight. The believer's responsibility is a great segment in there, a great little teaching. And at the end, this is what it says. God has given to you, as a believer, the ministry of bringing back to him those people who are removed. Our responsibility is to tell of the great opportunities every man has in Christ Jesus. We are to simply show forth the love of God. Show people that Jesus Christ died for them and was resurrected over 1900 years ago. God laid all our sins and all the sins of every other person on Jesus. The believer's great responsibility is the ministry of reconciliation. That's it. Putting back together that which had been broken or separated between God and man. We are to hold forth the word of life to all, for all have gone astray. We have already been reconciled to God. Now it is our responsibility to hold forth his word in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. When we hold forth the word of life, we shine as lights in the world. This is our ministry of reconciliation. This is our responsibility. Amen? Amen. Well, Father, thank you so much that we have such a wonderful responsibility here in the family of God, that we all can help move your word that can be a light to those who are in darkness, Father. So we are grateful that you work mightily within each one of us in the most unique way, and how we believe and act and understand and know that you give us those wonderful opportunities to speak your word and to speak Christ. So we're thankful that we have this beautiful responsibility of being ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Father, for this. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.